Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, it's time for another Soundcheck podcast, our series of live in-studio performances, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. The band Rubble Bucket has really been building up a sizable following in the last couple of years for their artful blend of electronic pop and dance rock. Their latest album, called Sun Machine, is their most successful yet, and the band is here to play some of it for us today, beginning with a song called Fruity.
I said I'd make it to the party, but I've got a lot going on. The lioness gave a feast for 40 of her body, then slept on the ground till the flower grew out. Yeah. I said we'd walk around the city and catch a cab at exactly dawn. I promise with my eyes, and I know that the peach trees skip to you, Fruity, and the next bank drop your flowers on the ground.
That is Rubble Bucket, looking mighty pleased with themselves after that performance of Fruity here in our studio. It's a track from their latest record called Sun Machine. And For lo, these many years, Rebel Bucket has centered on the work of Kalmia Traver, who sings and plays the sax, and Alex Toth, who plays the trumpet and also sings. But they're joined by Sean Smith on backing vocals and trumpet, Ryan DuGray on guitar, Jeremy Gustin is behind our drum kit, Noka Sheffy playing the bass. Kalmia, Alex, it's great to have the two of you back here.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
Drama seems to follow you guys around. The last time you were here, Kalmia, you were undergoing chemo.
Yes.
For ovarian cancer.
It was 5 years ago.
I guess it must have been. Yeah.
That's what I was doing 5 years ago this time.
Well, but you were still playing, still performing and still kind of trucking, as they say. Now there's the backstory to Sun Machine. Let me just come out and ask, is this the weirdest breakup record ever made?
I think Dirt Hoof made a weirder one.
I feel like there's definitely weirder breakup records. I mean, musically, it's
I hope. I mean, I'd be pleased if that were true.
Yeah, we can go with that.
Just because listening to it, it's just like everyone seems to be having a really good time, despite, occasional bouts of doubt and nostalgia and regret, it just...
Well, if you muted all the drum tracks, it would be way more sad. But since there's drums and bass and rhythm...
Is that all it takes?
That's all it takes. I tried both ways. I've done a lot of different versions of the song. Way sadder without drums, more fun with drums, so...
Yeah. So then, a conscious decision on the band's part to go fun rather than sad.
Yeah, I mean, like, Rebel Bucket without the groove wouldn't be Rebel Bucket, so...
Yeah.
But there's still, if you listen to the lyrics and the melancholic harmonies, it's still a heart-wrenching record, I think.
Mm-hmm. why is everyone laughing at that? He just said it was heart-wrenching, and the band breaks into giggles.
Because we're here.
It is the weirdest breakup record ever, that's why.
And we're happy to be here.
So, it's also to clarify... It's easier to say breakup record, but Cal and I consciously uncoupled.
Yes, that's a Gwyneth Paltrow term.
Is it really?
We gave each other, we have matching tattoos. It was a very conscious and, spacious that there wasn't any objects thrown across rooms or anything like that, It was not that I know of.
I think, okay.
There wasn't. There was
It's in your Toth song, Threw a Chair Across the
That wasn't room. About... Me or you? That was something else that I can't talk about.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Well, I guess I'm like so vain.
Yeah, that song's not about you, Cal.
Okay, cool.
Cal, do you want to interview him?
Because did you throw a chair?
You seem to be getting to the good stuff.
Did you throw a chair?
Remember Seattle?
Okay, maybe there was a chair thrown in Seattle.
Okay. All right. So the conscious uncoupling did not extend to the songwriting process. That team is still a team.
Yeah, we didn't really know what was going to happen after we consciously uncoupled. It was a very painful experience, and it took a lot of time to, grieve. But Rebel Bucket still played, a show, a month or something, and we kind of finished the EP sort of mostly not in the same room. And then it was, maybe a year or two. A year and a half after the breakup that we were like, hey, let's have some sessions, let's see. And we were just kind of feeling it out, and it was like, hey, this is fun, actually. This is more fun than it even was when we were together, something cool is happening with the vibe.
Yeah. Did you find that the way you guys worked together, the way you wrote songs, had changed during the course of that year?
Yeah, I think we cleared out a lot of space for the creation to happen, because I guess... There was just, we were wearing a lot of hats and different hats in the relationship, and there was just too many hats, cohabitating, and just, you can list them all off. And so just to be able to have a lot less pressure on the success of our relationship in all the different ways was cool. It was like, you can be more playful.
Yeah. You came through the other end, still working together and really putting out an album that has been met with really strong reviews and strong response in Sun Machine. What does the title refer to? I mean, it seems like it could easily be a sort of environmental call of sorts.
I feel that. We kind of both have different takes on it. But
you, you like the earth and Alex doesn't.
Well, I like, no, oh, that's too simple. But I mean, I just love the idea right now of renewable resources
in the
and I just think, especially right now, it's like we're all being faced with a lot more like harsh realities that a lot of us were able to be sheltered from for a long time on a larger scale. And for me, something that's been helpful is to be able to look inward and see what I can shift about my perception and the way I'm acting in the world to be more effective, because, you know, there's such a wide gap between what I wish for us and what's really happening in a big way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we both went to University of Vermont. We were sustainable economics minors together, music majors. We've had years of heady conversations, you know, about stuff, sometimes stoned out, like whatever. And
I don't know. I have no idea what that means.
You know what I'm talking about. and like, so, I mean, Cal and I could talk. We could talk,
yeah.
You know? And so I think that's where that lyric sort of comes from. Like, we used to talk about the sun machine. It's sort of like these idealistic things. If we could just make the sun machine happen, then everything would be okay.
There's a very, very early David Bowie song.
Which I didn't realize when I came up with that lyric. And so, but perhaps
the sun machine is coming down, and we're going to have a party.
Yeah,
sounds like someone else was
thinking about that.
A little stoned at the time.
Yeah, so we can say it's related to that too.
Yeah. All right. So, sun machine is the latest. Rubble Bucket is playing for us here in the studio today. Why don't we hear Lemonade next? Once again, this is Rubble Bucket playing live here in the New Sound Studio on this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast.
About a sun machine. If we could flip the lights, then our love would never end. You were like the American dream. You made me want things I don't really need. We used to ride around in rollerblades. You kissed me on the mouth till my pupils dilated. In your trance, I was a little babe, shrinking like a flower in the rain.
Did I make you mean? Or were you always that way? Unfortunately, I get your lemons into lemonade. But I let you know how much you hurt me with a really, really long goodbye. For real, this is goodbye. Now for some lemonade.
By the sonar, makes me think about your laser beam. You screamed at me until I played the part. I thought I needed you in every way. I woke up in some pain and I texted you by mistake. Honestly, things are gravy, but could you help me jog my memory?
The sun machine. If we could flip the lights, then our love would never end. You were like the American dream. Made me want things I don't really need. Now for some lemonade.
We'll be right back.
greatest breakup record ever. When it occasions that sort of dancing here in the studio. First of all, Alex, you and Sean were doing a little, almost looked like kind of yoga meets physical therapy meets pugilistic exercises there.
And I wouldn't think of it that way, but sure. I think of it more as sort of an ironic, ironic dance move, ironic positive thing.
So it's irony positive is what you're
irony
saying.
Irony positive. We're pro irony.
Iron Man?
And it's like a really sunny dance move, yeah, but an exaggeratedly sunny dance move.
Oh, I know. Okay.
Well, yeah, and I really hope folks are, you know, watching on Facebook or YouTube. I know there are folks who are going to be listening to this via audio only and wondering what we're talking about. But then Sean moved over to you, Cal, and
yeah,
you guys were busting a move.
It's our tradition.
So
we always do it.
There was another tradition, the robot puppets. What happened to them?
That was a phase.
It was a phase, yeah. Not a tradition, but a phase.
Yeah.
And you've outgrown the robot puppet phase.
I would go back someday. I really loved how, like, they were these huge puppets that were harnessed onto hiking backpacks that had been, you know, found in some thrift store and, like, repurposed. And our visual party master collaborator, Neil Frid, who has a project called Terror Pigeon, that's kind of his performance moniker, he travels with us and he built these puppets, and every single night for more than a year, at every single show, we had a couple audience members put them on and wear them. And I loved that because it was really pulled people out of their comfort zone and it was kind of broke that fourth wall or third wall or whatever.
Yeah.
I never know which wall.
I loved it too, but there was at the time the trombone player and I who were responsible to put them together every night, and then I had to recruit two random people, which was such a crapshoot on whether it would work out.
Yeah.
And we were only really planning to do that for 6 shows around like a holiday run, but we ended up doing it 137 shows and then like had to keep repairing them. And
they were really beat up by the end.
At the end of it was actually a year exactly, New Year's Eve, 2012 going to 2013, after the show in Burlington, Vermont, somebody just shouted, "Kill the robots!" and then I was like, oh no, we could like sell them on eBay or something. But then at that point, they were already dragged out into the blizzardy parking lot. It was like a blizzard out. I remember Marco Benevento Trio was opening, and we just mafia style just destroyed the puppets. Marco still has pieces of the limbs and stuff like in
he probably has made instruments out of them, knowing
it's
Marco.
It's possible. Yeah. I last seen in his garage upstate.
Yeah. Wow. All right. But the point is, though, I mean, you guys have been sort of visually attuned for many years. So what is the current, aside from the occasional two-person line dance move, what's the visuals of Rubble Bucket these days?
Assuming we get our van back.
Yes, I did say the drama follows you guys. The van disappeared this morning. It has been located, but all your stuff was in it.
Yeah, there's set design in there, and we'd love to use that set design because that answers your question. They're these like 5x8 panels that we backlight, and we do silhouette dancing, and there's some projection mapping, and we have a pretty through composed sort of choreo situation.
As well as the light show is through composed by Neil, and it's cool.
Yeah, and then the panels are just this really cool thing. It's like we bring our microphones behind the thing, and I don't know, it feels really sweet. It's like, it feels like a more honed in presentation. We still have a lot of audience interaction, and I'm sure we'll come up with more contraptions in the future. But yeah, this is our current thing.
All right. Rubble Bucket traveling around in support of their most recent album called Sun Machine. When you look at the band just on paper, not actually looking at it, but you see two trumpets and a sax and a rhythm section, it looks like a jazz band. Mm. You know, it may sound like, a dance pop group.
I like that.
But yeah, so there are occasions, especially when one of the horns takes a solo, where that kind of jazz thing comes through a little bit.
True. We have like a hidden jazz background, and some of it comes through sometimes.
Okay.
And I just took a sort of jazzy solo in that last tune. You might have noticed it.
Yes. Yours was the second. Sean took the first.
Yes, Sean took the first two. Yeah.
Okay. So in this next song called What Life Is, Cal, do we get to hear you on the saxophone?
Yeah, that's why I brought it.
Okay.
Right now.
All right, let's hear another live performance. The band is Rubble Bucket, and the song from the album called Sun Machine is called What Life Is. Rubble Bucket is the band, and as Alex told us earlier, if you took away the bass and the drums, that would have been a very, very sad song. That was really killing. What Life is the name of it. Do you guys get a chance to kind of stretch a bit, you know, when you're doing the songs live and maybe, you know, extend the improv a bit? And you're not getting into jam band territory, I'm not saying that.
Right.
But
hey, don't use that word, man. we kind of wander around the stage and go nuts and stuff. And yeah, we played it pretty open today, too.
Yeah. So not such a hidden jazz background after all.
Those two songs have particularly jazzy moments, but relatively hidden. Besides those.
So there's usually a pretty cool march at the end. We're working on our consistency lately, but it's pretty improvised, and really sometimes those get some tasty moments there. And we promise it will be tasty because we actually practiced it.
So there's a march. Do you guys like leave the stage while you're skronking and squawking?
Yeah, yep.
Nice.
Exactly. That's kind of our exit. That's another tradition, and it's really fun, and it kind of lets us get our last yah-yahs out before we got to go to bed.
And besides those moments, though, it's a relatively tight art pop set.
Yeah.
All right. The band is Rubble Bucket, touring around supporting their latest album called Sun Machine. It's been a long time, 5 years since you were last here, but it's great to have you guys back. Congratulations on the record, and thanks for being here.
Thanks
Thank
so much
you,
for having
John.
Us.
Thanks, everyone. WNYC, we're huge fans. Thanks for having us.
This is Soundcheck.
But it's worth the blood to still be lost, to still be free. It's worth the cost, and I know.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.